Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast, the podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith. Rust.
Well, if it isn't the Star-Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixies out of your pockets, Neverlander. Sprinkle some pixie dust around, grab your happiest thought, and fly away with me, your Spider-Pan Jeremy, to Neverland once again this week, where we have some sad things to talk about and some fun things to talk about, and birthday cake all around, because Donald Duck had his 83rd birthday.
He's getting kind of up there, isn't he?
Yeah, and that was pretty much kind of my plan for the week, but then Adam West sadly passed away. So we're going to talk about that actually later with Lost Boy Philip. But with me right now, the voice you're hearing is Wendy Nerd.
Wendy Nerd.
Yep, Pixie yep. Heather.
Me.
New wife.
It's me.
It's come a long way. So this is great because now that you're not out of Thesis Land, you're coming along with us again. For those of you who are missing Eric, well, I miss having Eric on here too. But yeah. He's been moving and he's out of town this weekend. But he should be back next weekend.
That's important stuff.
So we can record together. So, you know, it's fun having Eric on. But it's nice having, you know, getting to have Philip on here and talk and having you on. And I like to mix it up. But, you know, it's fun having Eric with me all the time, you know. I just wish we lived closer. When he came into town from Arizona, we had a good old time. It was fun. You know, he's almost like family. We're so similar, actually, I think, a lot.
I just met him in passing.
Yeah, you didn't get to sit with him. But I haven't got to meet the rest of his family. One of these days, I hope to do that. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. We actually have a lot of news that we need to get into, and some of it is rather bizarre.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Okay, now this, some people have been calling this some good news, other people have been calling it sad news. Heather is shrugging her shoulders because it's indifferent news. Neither one of us have ever actually been to Disneyland. She's never been to a Disney park at all.
Period. Yep.
At all. Well, I'm going to fix that one of these days, but tomorrow, well, it's tomorrow from where I'm at. You're listening to this actually on June 12th or later. The Indie Outpost and the South Street, South Seas Trader Stores is going to close in Disneyland. But there will be an enhancement to the Bengal Barbecue. On June 30th, Bengal Barbecue is going to reopen with some indoor seating in a space that was previously occupied by the India Outpost and the Southeast Traders. So basically, you're losing two shops, which I know is shocking. Disney closing some retail stores, including one that's Indiana Jones themed, to move a dining experience into its position. There's also going to be a stroller parking is going to relocate into the former Tropical Imports location, which is going to have a new location next door to Bengal Barbecue, while the Adventureland Bazaar is going to have some select merchandise from the South Seas Traders and the Indie Outpost. So you're still going to get some of the merchandise, but it's going to be at a different location.
So why is it happening?
This is happening because this is a very congested area. and they're trying to improve the crowd flow, especially considering Star Wars Land is coming in. I've heard people saying that, oh, well, this should really help when Star Wars Land is open because more people can get in and out of Star Wars Land. Frankly, come out of Star Wars Land? Nah, everybody's going in. I don't know a thing that's coming out unless they close the park and force them out and kick them out, right? I mean, so, yeah, Star Wars Land is coming, so they're trying to make things a little bit easier, and so that's definitely a good thing, although I'm sure plenty of people will be sad to see some of those stores go away. But the merchandise will still be available.
The next thing in the news is that Disneyland has had a little thing with the city of Anaheim when they expanded the Disneyland Resort. The Anaheim City Council said that they needed to do something about the backside of Cars Land. Basically, you can see the backside of the scenes, the props, and things like that, so they need to kind of fix that, camouflage that, so that it can't be seen by the Anaheim Convention Center.
Yeah, it was part of a 1996 agreement they actually had in the city of Anaheim for the expansion. And the Anaheim Convention Center is about to be expanded. And the back of Cars Land, when you the photo that I've seen, it looks really bad.
It looks very much like the backside of a scene. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it's wood planking. So this is actually similar. The Indiana Jones show building actually that faces the Grand California Hotel. They in order to fix that up, they grew some trees in there. So it's possible they might try to do something like that. Maybe put some more trees, kind of hide it out, or maybe just repainted. Either way, Disney has basically decided they're going to take it upon themselves to go and honor the old agreement and fix this up a little bit. So it's definitely a good idea just to make things a little better around town. Now, when I first saw the headline of this story, I was a little confused. The headline says that Bob Iger was awarded for his service to veterans, and I had thought, you know, but that's what it actually says, but when I was seeing the articles, they were saying for his veteran service or something, and I thought maybe Bob Iger was in the military. To my knowledge, he wasn't, but maybe he was. I don't know 100% for sure, but he is being honored by the Navy SEAL Foundation. Did I say it right? Either way. But so Iger started a Disney initiative because he's getting the Patriot Award for this, but he wanted to make sure he hires and trains some veterans for a job, and it's called Heroes Work Here.
That's nice.
So, you know, he's had so far like over 15,000 veterans find work. Well, he's hired 8,000 veterans, and then 15,000 he's managed to find work elsewhere, helping train and get them brought in. And they have a great quote from Iger that says, "My father served in the Navy in World War II, and back then the war was appreciated sacrifice. Yet in Vietnam, the soldiers came back to a deeply divided nation. And every generation of veterans deserves a lifetime of gratitude."
Absolutely.
So I really appreciate that. And I like the fact that he respects the fact that it's not fair that the World War II veterans are honored and then the Vietnam veterans got treated like crap.
Well, it's pretty much everybody back after that. To
yeah,
be real
it's
honest.
The world has changed. So Bob Iger, good on you. Are you very deserving of this? I love this award for you because yes, when our veterans come in, you know, trying to reacclimate, you've been through heck.
Yeah.
And so sometimes they have a hard time getting back into society, getting in work, and you know, getting some good, you know, some more job skills, and you know, going back to normal, which is very understandable. So the fact that he does this, I love you more for it there, Bob. Keep it up. You are a good CEO. All right, now this is something I got a bit of surprise because the original article I found is that somebody had leaked a photo of what the Shocker is going to look like in Spider-Man Homecoming. I did not even know the Shocker was going to be in it. I have almost been playing comfortably dumb because I don't want to know a lot of the details.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, but I thought the Shocker? And so I went and looked at the picture of the figure. It's very, very cool. They tried to keep it similar to how the Shocker looks. Now, this is why this is kind of special to me. The first Amazing Spider-Man comic that I bought with my own money was with the Shocker.
The Shocker.
And it was a completely self-contained story with the Shocker. He was trying to find this pack that would increase his vibration. It's Herman Schultz who was, while in prison, kind of worked and invented these little gauntlets that he sends these vibration kind of waves out. And, you know, basically it's like getting electric shock. Because, you know, you feel like the vibration, when you get a little shock. And it's like that. Well, they found a way for him to exist in the Spider-Man Homecoming verse. And I guess, you know, with the Vulture kind of grabbing some technology from Avengers fights, you know, maybe they've tinkered around. Which I use the word tinker very specifically. And so the Shocker is in it. And the figure actually looks really cool. And I guess you're going to see, I've seen some photos. It looks like he's slowly going to develop into the full character. But, you know, it's always dangerous having more than one villain in a movie.
Yeah.
So I'm nervous about this.
Yeah.
The Shocker could be really... The Shocker's not like a big name villain in most cases. I still love him because it's the Spider-Man villain.
Yeah, some nostalgia.
Yes, I have some nostalgia. And he was in the animated series. The Shocker was in there. But I've also found out the Tinkerer will be in the film. Now, he was also another minor. I think he's not just for Spider-Man. I think he's been for a lot of Marvel villains. But he helps make a lot of those gadgets. And he's this little genius guy. So I can see maybe the Tinkerer working with the Vulture to build some tech and helping the Shocker build the gauntlets. So that's very cool. So I hope I haven't ruined anything by telling you these characters will be in the film, but you know, I've learned this and I thought it was kind of cool that there's a figure of the Shocker that looks really neat. So I wanted to go ahead and share it because, you know, I'm kind of excited for it. I do worry though that you get too many villains in the pot, but it seems like they do have a major focus with the Vulture, and it's, oh my gosh, it's Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can see where, like, if you had some, you know, other villains that showed up, like, real quick, and he just kind of put them away, like, real quick, not had an immersive story with them to split your attention.
Seems like they're henchmen for the Vulture.
Just, like, a real quick, yeah, like a, you know, henchman kind of thing. I think I could see that going much better than having two well-developed characters and trying to juggle two of those storylines.
Yeah, instead of just constantly going nameless thugs like, I don't know, Batman movies from the 89... Where just lying on multiple thugs so Batman can just beat them all up. You know, now we're having some actual other villains, because generally in Spider-Man comics, you don't see a lot of his villains having a bunch of thugs working for them.
It's usually singletons.
It's usually them. And so having some other villains that are maybe working for the Vulture?
The little geek
sounds
happy.
Really cool. Yes, it kind of gets me excited. I like that idea. Alrighty, if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area and you have, I don't know, a few million to spare.
And who doesn't have a million lying around?
I don't.
I know.
That's who doesn't.
I know.
But Profiles in History is going to have an auction in Los Angeles. It's going to take place June 26th through the 28th. And they have some really cool movie props, including Luke Skywalker's lightsaber.
So now which lightsaber is
actual
this? Because he has
used
more than one that he uses, right?
But no, this is the actual prop from A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
I mean, well, that's at least where it's been there. But this is an actual movie prop. Luke Saber. Exactly. It's a Luke Saber. I'm going with that.
I think we coined a new term.
Trademark Neverland Podcast, Luke Saber. It is a Luke Saber, and you can buy it before Ray learns how to use it. Mm-hmm. You can buy it. They're expecting it to go between $150,000 and $250,000, though.
I think that's probably going to be conservative.
Yes. This was in the possession of Gary Kurtz, you know, producer. He also came along working on The Dark Crystal, that kind of thing. And there's even a personalized letter that certifies the authenticity of this thing.
Why would you give that up? I don't know.
Because Gary Kurtz don't need it, I guess.
Oh, I guess.
I couldn't find anything about this going for charity, but I mean, I guess he just wanted to sell it. I don't know exactly what's going on, but here's some other cool things. Bill Paxton's armor from Aliens. Game over, man! But it's only going to sell for like $10,000 to $15,000. Charlie Bucket's screen-used golden ticket from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. This was actually owned by the director Mel Stewart and is estimated to sell for about $40,000 to $60,000.
That would be fun to have. I like Willy Wonka. I like that movie.
I'd be worried because it's just ticket. It's just like a plasticky paper. Hopefully it's framed. I would
frame that sucker.
Frame
it and mount it and like all that.
Yes.
Stuff. Yeah.
A screen-used Atlantean sword from Conan the Barbarian, which was originally owned by director John Millis and estimated to sell for about $40,000 to $60,000. Leonardo DiCaprio's main screen-used outfit from Titanic, which is estimated to sell for $100,000 to $150,000.
Yeah, not so much on that one.
Who cares? Not
I mean,
me.
I know that a lot of people like that movie. That's not necessarily one of mine.
I'm not really all that excited, but there is a lot of stuff going for sale. This is just a few of the things that I saw in a press release. Very, very cool, and believe me, I would at least like to go and see it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wish Lost Boy Philip was here now that I look at this. Actress Glenn Headley passed away. Mm-hmm. There's other stuff I recognize her from being in. She was in a lot of different things. Never anything huge.
But she was kind of side characters. But
yeah.
She was in Lonesome Dove.
Yeah, and that's why I should have talked to Philip about this.
Yeah, and Dick Tracy.
Yeah, but Dick Tracy's where I think I'm going to remember, because it's a Disney film. Dick Tracy, she played Tess Trueheart. Mm-hmm. Passed away at 62. I didn't realize she was that old. At all.
I didn't think she was that old either.
Now anybody who's 62 listening is like, I'm not old. I'm sorry.
Well, no, and that's not really very old.
That's not
really
old. That's anymore. Not that old to pass away. Mm-hmm. I mean, considering some of our other people we're going to talk about, Adam West was 88.
Yeah, that's a good long
life. But Glenn Headley seems so young. I don't remember who she was in Lonesome Dove.
Okay, in Lonesome Dove, she was the woman who she was going to go to Oklahoma. You know, she was like going to go to Oklahoma and meet her husband or whatever. And she was pregnant, and she takes off with a couple of guys that are kind of sketchy, and she doesn't make it. Like, no spoilers, but like she gets caught up with the Indians, like a lot of people do in that movie, that series.
Yeah,
and she doesn't make it.
It's a depressing film. Most people
die. It is. It's very. It's. I mean, I gotta be in the mood to watch it in like a box of Kleenex. But
I know Philip is a huge fan of that film and has watched it many times. Mm-hmm. While we're on sad news. Peter Salas of Wallace and Gromit passed away. He was the voice of Wallace.
Oh, so sad.
And I knew he was an elderly man, because, but you know, he had such a... hopefully y'all have watched some Wallace and Gromit, at least Curse of the Were-Rabbit that was out in theaters. It was great, great. I haven't watched that in a long time.
He won the person who did Wallace and Gromit won awards for some of the shorts prior, like, before the Were-Rabbit.
Oscar-winning stuff.
Yes.
Because it's so good and it's so funny.
And I was actually looking up about this, because I love Wallace and Gromit. That apparently Peter Salas kind of did Wallace and I don't know the guy's name who made Wallace and Gromit, kind of was doing them a favor by voicing like Wallace and Gromit.
And that's Heather breaking one of my cups that my aunt had made for me.
I'm not breaking it, just got too much junk in here. Anyway, so it was kind of like, this is a young filmmaker, like he's got this crazy idea, I'll voice it, what the heck, you know, kind of thing. And so it went from there. But he's actually more well known in Britain, apparently, for like a comedy with like three older gentlemen. Like that's
that
what he's mostly known for.
Because what he did with as Wallace was so funny. And how about cheese, Gromit?
I
love it. And so this
even doing the hands, you can't see it. He's doing the little hands.
Yeah, and I think I picked up that habit because I kind of do that now.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to do it, but it just pops up. Just do it now. The little hand yay thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it really helps on a podcast when you talk about how you wave your hands a certain way.
Because nobody can see it, right?
Yeah. Those of you that know me that listen to this show, I'm sure you're out there somewhere. Hi, Mom! actually, my mom's passed, but my stepmom might listen. Probably not. Anyway, moving on! Another person that has passed, Tino Insana, and I hope I'm pronouncing his right. Voice of many other cartoon characters, but for the Disney connection, Bushroot from Darkwing Duck passed away this week as well. This has been the week of death.
It's been kind of a hard week on people. Yeah.
And everybody was like, I hate you 2016 for all the people that died. You know, there's a lot of people that die every year. I don't know why 2016 seemed to hit people hardest, but already 2017, wow.
Especially I think some of them, maybe the more popular, maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
Well, to me, these were popular. These were important people to me. The big losses. And one of the photos I saw with like the Tino Encino is Bobby's World. He was his uncle. That reminded me of John Candy a little bit. And his voice sounded a little like John Candy. I wouldn't be surprised if you remember the Camp Candy cartoon that lasted like one season Saturday mornings.
I believe I watched.
I don't remember if John Candy voiced that, or if maybe it was this guy because he sounded so much like him. It might have been. Don't quote me on that because I don't know. And on the other, this might be good news for some. But I'm calling it slightly depressing news. Okay, so Entertainment Weekly actually has some photos, and they do look delightful in the photos.
Yeah, this photo looks kind of nice.
Mary Poppins Returns. So there's some photos here, and it basically shows a lot of dancing numbers, and this is where the two kids, Michael and... I forgot the little girl's name.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe I forgot. I'm
gonna say Jane. Michael Banks and Jane. Michael and Jane. And there's a picture that shows Michael and Jane. They're all adults, and now... Michael, I guess the two kids are supposed to be Michael's, and Mary Poppins comes back. Emily Blunt playing her. I think I heard something that they wanted to have. It's right out of my head. The original Mary Poppins.
Oh yeah.
But they wanted to maybe make her have a cameo or something, but I think she's turned it down because she doesn't want to take away from Emily Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, frankly, you got Emily Blunt trying to follow in her footsteps.
It's hard.
They have some photos even of director Rob Marshall and the producer John DeLuca. The sets look good. The costumes look good. I mean, everything about this should be good, but I just can't get behind trying to do a sequel to Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's such a brilliant movie that you've really got a lot to live up to.
The first one was practically perfect in every way.
Exactly. And yes, I know there's more stories and more books. Mm-hmm. So, but I just don't know that Emily Blunt could just completely blow me away as the new Mary Poppins. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not confident. And seeing that Meryl Streep is somehow or another attached to the film, I'm sorry. After Meryl Streep ran her mouth on Walt Disney, she's persona non grata with me.
I'm surprised
I am
that
done with
Disney
her.
Would have anything to do with her after
second film
after
that I know
that
of
one.
After that. Because, yeah,
know?
She was in Into the Woods playing, a nasty witch. And I didn't like Into the Woods. At first, that movie's good.
I really cared for it either. So, I watched it, but I just didn't, I don't know. No.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Having Meryl Streep in there really kind of kills it for me a little bit. But I'm going to see it because I'll review it. And I would love to be completely surprised that this is, and to have it be fantastic. I would love for this to be fantastic, but you're talking like one of my favorite all-time movies.
Yeah.
That, and you're way past the time, and, you know, Richard Sherman's given an endorsement to the people writing songs, but without it, Sherman Brothers working on the music, it's just not going to be the same to me. But I might be being an old fuddy-duddy, and maybe it's just my nostalgia talking, but I'm really not comfortable with this. But we'll see.
There has been a lot of remakes or extensions trying to tap into movies that we loved as a kid. And not all of them have come off very well.
Yeah, like Maleficent.
You know, and others, you know, and it's not just Disney, but it's all the movies and all of entertainment seems to be trying to rehash.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's getting a little old.
Yes, it is. And at least it's a sequel, though, and not an attempted remake.
Yes.
I mean, at least it's that. As they were trying to remake it, I would have to go and smack somebody. So what are you doing? It's almost be as bad as Tim Burton trying to remake, doing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Granted, it's a completely different movie, but it was done so perfectly before that I would not go back and try to remake it, even though you went and tried to base a bit more off the book, and I appreciate what they tried to do. But you just can't remake. And I'm nervous, actually, for him doing Dumbo, because I've seen how he can make scary clowns. But Tim Burton, sometimes, when Tim Burton is on his game, he nails it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, Tim Burton, when he's good, he's good. When he's not so good, I'm like, oh. So I'm nervous about him doing Dumbo, because I love Dumbo.
I hadn't even heard that.
Yeah, he's making a live-action Dumbo.
Oh.
I know. When will the carnage stop?
Oh.
Well, you know what? To get our minds out of this, here's...
I'm sorry. I saw the headline. I have to laugh.
I put my own headline in our notes here. I put the Geese Brigade bomb Disneyland guests. So, and I'm so sorry if you're a listener and this is one of the people that happened to you, but it is a funny story, and I'm sure when you get a chance to look back at it, you can laugh at it. And Disney did take good care of these people, but about 17 people got hit with goose poo in Disneyland. And all I can think of is it must have been like a, because you know how geese, you know, Canada geese will flock together. And I'm thinking it's got to have been Canada geese flying overhead, and they must have just been bombing people or something over Disneyland and just pooped on people. And I had to put this in because I've seen this story pop up everywhere, and we're kind of having a good laugh, and Disney did take care of them and gave them some new clothes, cleaned them up and everything, because one of the things that we can look at this, Disney does take very good care of its guests. Mm-hmm. And they are not afraid to give you free special t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm sorry, your shirt got ruined. Here, have this one. We'll get this washed for you.
Well, and they take good care of it. Cleans. Like, it washes.
Yeah, it
washes.
It's an embarrassing thing to have happen, but Disney took good care of them. And so, you know, good on Disney. But now, I think it's time we visit the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator... Give me that shovel! Come here!
Oh. Get him, Mom! Get that guy!
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Once every year, our ancestors come back to our world.
Please have a safe journey.
To see family and friends. But no living person has ever visited their world. Until now.
All right, who's in there?
I'm sorry. What's going on? Doctor, wait up! You gotta stay with me, boy. We don't know where we are. Miguel?
What is going on?
Remind me how I know you?
They're your family.
We
have to get you back home.
Welcome. Anything to declare?
As a matter of fact, yes.
November is shaping up to be a very busy month for movies. Justice League, Thor Ragnarok, and Disney Pixar's Coco. Right in time for Christmas. Overall, when I look at this trailer, and a lot of people, of course, have been saying, like, I think you've said this before, it looks like Book of Life, you know. But the difference is, this is Pixar.
Yeah.
They're going to do it better.
Well, I'm hoping
so. Book of Life, I didn't enjoy. I thought it was kind of, I don't know. Anytime I try to watch it, I just can't get into it.
Well, it was okay movie. I kind of like it probably better than you do. But there is, because there has been more than one Day of the Dead style, like setting, movie that's come out. It really gives me a flashback to it, and I'm going to try not to compare, but...
And I've seen some people comment, and rightly so, it's like, well, you don't say that about when there's multiple Christmas-themed movies, and that's right, because this is, a holiday, and it's just going to have similar look because that's the way the holiday is celebrated.
Sure.
Now, my qualms I have with this is, as much as we get into the plot, really, from this point, is that, we've seen this little boy before, that he gets his father's guitar, or at least he idolizes this musician, I guess. I think it's supposed to be his father. He plays it.
To suggest it's his father.
Yeah. And he, over into the world of the dead, and the entire plot of the movie seems to be able to get him back. I'm hoping there's more to it. Mm-hmm. It seems not much. It seems like they're just trying to go with the spectacle of showing, look how beautiful this movie looks. Mm-hmm. That's all this trailer's trying to do. Look how beautiful this is. But we've seen something that looks like this before already. You need to show me more Pixar. What gives me faith in this is because it's Pixar. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to love it, because very seldom do I not love a Pixar movie. I even love The Good Dinosaur, and a lot of people were like, I don't understand everybody who didn't like it. I love that movie. It's very serious. It's very different, but I love it. But this one, I know I'm probably going to love when I see it, but right now I'm not that impressed, as far as story, because of course it looks good, although most of the dead characters, they're all skeletons, they look all alike to me. But I suppose when you get a better look and you see them all, I mean, their face colorations and painting and bits, decorations are all different.
Well, yeah, I know people, say, well, we don't get tired of multiple, Christmas carols and things like that. It's just, for me, there's too many similarities between Day of the Dead and this one, because you have someone who's trying to get back to the land of the living, but they get there in different ways. Yeah. So, and the way that the world looks is very similar, although...
Corpse Bride?
Yeah, Corpse Bride a little bit.
Because the living person crosses over into the land of the dead, and the land of the dead is super colorful.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm willing to just go in and, see it and see what it does. Now, there is a little bit of a Kubo that I see when he plays the guitar. Now, given the benefit of the doubt, they maybe have been working on these before these other movies
came out. They did. They've been working on it a long time.
Pixar, it seems to take its time with the movies, so they're really good, which is awesome, because that's why we continue to love Pixar, as they put out different movies and things.
So, yeah, with the Pixar name on it, it has to be good.
So, I guess I'm kind of concerned, but at the same time, I'll go and I'll see it with open eyes, open heart, and see... what they have for us for this movie.
Because even Brave, which I don't love, is still a good movie.
I like Brave.
It's not a great movie, but it is a good movie.
I really like Brave.
Yeah, I like it. I just don't love it like I love the other Pixar movies.
I probably like it more than you do.
Yeah.
Tell me something. What do you know about Wakanda?
It's a third world country.
Textiles, shepherds, cool outfits.
All affront. Explorers have searched for it. Called it El Dorado. They looked for it in South America. But it was in Africa the whole time. I'm the only one who's seen it. And made it out alive.
I can see you.
The world
is changing. Soon, there will only be the conquered and the conquerors.
Step into the spotlight.
You are a good man.
Step into the spotlight.
With a good heart. And it's hard for a good man to be a king.
I've been waiting for this. They've been teasing it for a long time, that we knew it was coming. You never got to see Captain America Civil War.
I've seen part of it. I
You need to watch the whole thing, because that's where you first see Black Panther.
Well, he was awesome in that. Like, what I saw, like, he was awesome in that.
He's amazing. But, you know, so this is King T'Challa of Wakanda. And I love how they set it up where you hear Andy Serkis' character. I can't remember his name, but he becomes Claw of Marvel. In Age of Ultron, you saw him lost his hand. He had stolen some vibranium from Wakanda. You do not steal from Wakanda. But I love how he's telling him that basically, yeah, everybody looks for the city of El Dorado, the city of gold, but it's actually this place in Wakanda because it's the only place you find vibranium. And they protect it. And their technology in Wakanda is actually far superior, yet they also have this tribal kind of culture. It's like this nice mix. It's almost like this little fantasy world in the middle of Africa that the Marvel came up with. It's almost as if Asgard was somewhere in Africa and had more African culture than Viking culture.
Which is awesome.
And so getting to look at Wakanda on the inside, but know that Wakanda is protected by their kings, which is this long line of Black Panthers. And I love that we get to see a different costume for Black Panther than what we saw. I loved what they did in Civil War. He looked very cool. This, he's got a bit more smooth, kind of tighter outfit. But one thing that at least I'm used to in some cartoons where you've seen Black Panther, he's got some high technology and he's really super smart. He's Tony Stark level genius at building stuff. So I want to see some of the technology that they keep hidden away, because you see some neat kind of flying, cool looking ships and stuff in this trailer. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to see like some of the cool things that they have made, like from vibranium and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, it's very exciting to get in there. And there's all kinds of characters that I am not familiar with. Andy Serkis' character, Ulysses Claw, which I'm only vaguely familiar with, that lost arm. He's going to get this, I believe it has like it's a sonic device he gets his arm replaced with. So he's, you know, very dangerous one. But Michael B. Jordan, who we won't talk about him being in that Fantastic Four movie that was crap.
Which you just did.
But yeah. But he was in Creed. I can't remember. Did he play Creed? The younger Creed? But the director of Creed is in the film. Did you get to see Creed? It was really good.
I don't think I did.
You're not the big Rocky fan like I am. But Creed was such a great film. And the director of Creed is actually in on this. And that it's you know, it's going to have some good direction. But you know, characters like Eric Killmonger sounds like he's going to be something important. But we got to see Martin Freeman from the Hobbit movies.
Yeah.
I mean, Angela Bassett, she's back in this. I even saw that Felicia Rashad has a part in this.
Nice.
I'm hoping she's like T'Challa's mother, because that would be cool.
She would make a good, like, queen.
Yes.
Like, very character.
And kinda. I even see John Connie, I don't know how to say his name, is back as King T'Chaka. Which, you know, we saw in Civil War, of course, we saw him die. But, you know, we get some flashbacks of a younger T'Challa, apparently, because they're seeing that in the cast list. And we get to hear, it's like, well, you have a good heart, but good hearts don't always make you good kings. You know, there's a line like that. So I'm really excited to see that father and son dynamic. And because T'Challa has to step up and become king of Wakanda because his father is murdered. And so, you know, I'm looking to see that. Not to mention Forrest Whitaker. I don't know who Zuri is, but come on, it's Forrest Whitaker.
Now you have to remind me, Forrest Whitaker.
If you didn't love him before, he was so cool in Rogue One. I mean, he's been in so much, and he's famous for that one weird kind of lazy eye he's got. Let me click on Forrest Whitaker's name, because Heather's still like, I don't know.
I'm probably sure I've seen There's him, his and face. Like, I know
he's
who
been
he
in
is.
So much.
It's probably, I don't remember names very well, but like, if you show Roots, me his face, I'm like, oh, I gotcha.
He was in a version of Roots.
I totally.
Taken 3, we never did see. But he's been in about everything. And he's good and everything.
He looks familiar. Like, I've seen him in stuff.
Yeah, I forgot. He was in Criminal Minds. He was a regular on that series for a while. Yeah, I forgot about that. But, I mean, come on. Forrest Whitaker. He's so good.
Okay.
So, him in this, yay. Great casting so far. And I love the actor they have playing T'Challa already. He was so good in Civil War. So, what's not to be excited about?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's kind of like a new area of the Marvel universe that we get to go in that is very different from the others, but it is connected. So I'm kind of excited to see, like you said, like how are they going to develop the culture? Because I don't know that much about Black Panther other than like it's Black Panther, like he wears the suit, you know, he's kind of got these things that are going on with it. He comes from Africa, like that's about all I really know.
He married Storm for a while.
But I'm excited to see that part of the universe because it's going to be a little different than the rest of them, but there'll be a connection clearly with the vibranium, and they've already made the connection with the the Civil War. So anyway, like I'm waiting to see what it's going to be like.
It's going
to
be pretty cool.
I'm excited for that, you know.
When did we see that it said coming soon? That didn't say exactly when this is coming.
It's coming soon.
Maybe this is coming like, because you know Marvel always releases like a couple of films in here anymore. They'll do like one in the spring and then one that they're not sure how it's going to do in like August. I'm hoping this is August. Although we were already expecting Thor Ragnarok here in November, but I'll take, you know, more Marvel movies in 1 year. Heck, go
I'm
for
sure
it.
I'm sure you would.
I'm
excited for Thor.
Yes, Thor's going to be awesome as well. Alrighty, but now I think it's time for you to go goodbye and Philip to come in.
To Disney and beyond.
The sonic beam in this gun can slice like a hot knife through the high price spread. But I've reached an impasse. Shall I steal your voice or end your life?
Whichever you decide, I'm sure it'll be the wrong choice.
You've a pretty sharp tongue for a man about to say goodbye to this world, Batman.
Beg for your mortal existence.
I'd rather die than beg for such a small favor as my life. What are you waiting for?
Can't you see how I feel about you, Batman? How I want you by my side.
It won't work, Catwoman. If you're going to kill me, you might as well get it over with.
I can't kill the only man that I've...
Don't worry, Catwoman. You wouldn't have killed me even though you shot the gun. The anti-batsonic device in my utility belt would have deflected the beam.
Well, it was a good plot while it lasted, huh?
Yes, Catwoman, one of your very best.
Thank you.
But still, the problem remains. How do we undo what you did?
The stolen voices?
Yes.
Oh, well, you just, have them all spray their throats with the atomizer. Oh. Get them back to normal in seconds, huh?
Amazing.
You see, my voice eraser electronically loosened their vocal cords and just have them spray it and it'll tighten them right back up again.
Amazing.
Batman, when I get out of jail, will you take me on a date?
We'll have plenty of time to think about that, Catwoman. Several years, I'm afraid.
If I were to kiss you, would you think I was a bad girl?
But, no. No, of course not, Catwoman. Kissing is one of the most natural things in the world. Some people kiss almost every day, I'm told.
Well...
Come on, Batman, the police are here.
Boy, Blunder.
Catwoman, may I take a rain check on that kiss?
Certainly, Batman. Anytime.
Holy mush!
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
So, well, obviously for some of our main content, we're going to talk about the passing of Adam West because, let's face it, he's a geek icon.
And, yes.
And we do have a Disney connection. He did voice in Chicken Little.
Yes.
And also, what was the other one? I was just seeing it the other day. Chicken Little. But he's in Chicken Little and then Meet the Robinsons. He did do some voice work in those.
The Robinsons. He had a wonderful voice. He had a wonderful inflection. This was his main way of talking. His communication skills were talented and quite spectacular.
Yeah.
Dramatic.
He was almost Shatner-ish.
Well, no. Shatner, he has another style. Very similar, but not quite the same.
But they'd have been awesome together. Oh, we've talked about this many times.
They should have played brothers. I've always wanted to play brothers.
Yeah.
Always. I'm heartbroken. I'm very, very heartbroken. I have been waiting for years. All my close friends know this. I have an action figure of Adam West, several, but one in particular that's never been opened, just waiting to be signed by Adam West. And I have a picture that I brought here today waiting to be signed, and it's never happened. It's never going to happen. But I have all these action figures of Adam West. He's one of my all-time favorites, him and William Shatner. I have William Shatner's autograph. I've gotten to speak and meet William Shatner on a couple of occasions. It'll never happen with Adam West. I have, however, in a way, gotten to meet him. I've gotten to wave at him from afar. I've gotten to see him when I was 11 years old, so I've at least gotten to see him in person. And he was dressed like Batman. This was 1988. I was 11 years old. It was at a World of Wheels, and he was awesome, and I love him. I will always love Adam West. Was he a geek? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did he know he was a geek?
I'm sure he did.
Absolutely. And you know what? That's what made him so wonderful.
Yep. He was one of us. You know, he loved the fact that he was Batman.
And he cashed in on it, and I love that.
Yeah. Oh, and I love the fact that he has, at one point with Sink, as in the 89 Batman film, you know, you have the, who are you? He would joke to say, no one ever had to ask who I was. Mm-hmm. I'm Batman.
I remember when 89 Batman came out. At first, I didn't know what to think of Adam West at that time because Adam, and this is a year after I'd seen him, he kind of didn't know what to think of that film. Of course, I love the 89 Batman film.
Yeah, when I first saw the commercial, saw him all in black and how dark it was very different from what I was used to because of the Adam West.
But at first, you know, he was kind of disappointed because he wanted to be in the Batman movie.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, I was glad they didn't. And I still...
It would have been neat to see him maybe in that little clip have as Thomas Wayne.
Yeah, I still think... Like that. I still think they could have, should have later on or something, especially when they got campy and corny and stupid in Batman and Robin. It would have been great to have him as Thomas Wayne, even if they had ever done, and I know they talked about it. I still to this day think they should have made a movie called Batman Fearless, and it should have been, you know, Scarecrow or something. And if Batman had been hit with the fear toxin or whatever, had Adam West be the father for just a second, that would have been great.
Something like that,
it would have been great, but it never happened, of course.
Yeah,
and I think they missed out on several opportunities, and that was one of them.
Yeah, well, but let's go back in our childhood memories a bit, because I remember when I first saw it. It came on right after He-Man and the Masters of the Universe when I was a kid on syndication, Channel 62. And so we'd watch He-Man, and I was like, oh my gosh. And to me, I thought it was a brand new Batman.
No.
Because I wasn't alive in 66, so it was, to me, I thought it was a new show, but I could tell it seemed to have some age on it. But, you know, I watched a lot of shows in syndication that, you know, it didn't, I never had a concept that Leave It to Beaver had been filmed 50 years before I had seen it, you know. But I didn't understand when I was a kid that it was trying to be campy and cheesy. I was excited and thrilled and took it seriously as a kid.
Oh, it was, and I don't know.
When he, you know, because they would show it for an hour. So you would get, I guess they didn't show it an hour first. They would do it in half an hour. So you'd have the cliffhangers. I would be absorbed into the cliffhanger like, oh no, how is Batman going to get out of this ridiculous thing where he's going to be dunked upside down into a pool of sharks?
Tune in. Same bat time.
Same bat channel. Yes.
My problem was, in my house, the other kids didn't really want to watch it. They wanted to watch Brady Bunch, which I still love, incidentally. It's corny, too. Around the same time, because it's 69. Anyway, I really wanted to watch Batman. They wanted to watch Brady Bunch. So my mom said, this is what we'll do. Here's the fair thing. Every day, we'll watch Brady Bunch, and then the next day, we'll watch Batman. Problem is, I don't want to see half the adventure.
Oh, no.
So it wasn't until 1989, when Batman came out, I don't remember what channel, if it was Nickelodeon, Nick at Night, or whatever it was.
Yeah, I remember Nick at Night showed them.
Yeah, so I finally would get to see the full adventure, and I was so thrilled, because you had a lot of guest stars. You had, you know, Vincent Price as A-Head, and, you know, you had all these great actors who was coming in there and playing all these different things. It was wonderful. I loved it.
Yeah.
But it was a terrible, corny show, which I now own every episode of.
I need to get that set still.
Oh, it's great. It's horrible. It's one of those shows that's so bad, it's good.
But they meant it to be that way. That's what's fun about it.
It's great.
Because I think when I came back to it at some point and see, I think when Nick and Knight was showing it and I had gotten used to the 89, you come back and you watch it and you realize how campy and cheesy it is. And you're kind of like, oh, gee, I don't know about this. But then you realize they were trying to do that. And you can sit back down and say, you know what? This is just silly and fun. I love this.
It's great. Yeah, Roddy McDowell is the bookworm.
Yes. Yeah. Which there's even tributes to that in some of the Arkham games. Mm-hmm. Those little things that the bookworm has a store. Oh, but here's a fun thing. I had almost forgotten that there had been, because I'd seen on HBO, I think, the old Batman movie from the 60s.
Yeah.
But in middle school, before we'd have a vacation day or a day off or whatever, some sort of holiday, we would get to go into the auditorium and they would show us a full film strip film on a big screen. So mm-hmm. we full movie experience. And since the Batman movie had come out the summer before and it was a big thing, the year after when I was in, I can't remember what grade, but it doesn't matter. But I was in middle school and we went and the teacher was like, we're excited. Oh, we're going to watch Batman today with our big gathering. And we were like, what? Really? The new one? And it turned out to be the 60s one. And we were kind of like, oh. But then I was like, oh, but this is great. And this was fun to watch. In there, you know, getting to watch the old Batman, and we all reacted. We boo the villains and woo, and he'd, you know, kiss Miss Kitka and stuff. You know, we had so much fun with it. But I was all still actually engrossed, even as middle school. I was like, you know, at first I was like, wow, these were campaign cheesy, but then you know, realize, but it's fun. And I got all engrossed in it, and I was like, well, it's not the 89, but it's still awesome.
Here's a quick history of the show that I never did understand as a kid. Now I do. It was one of those shows that they did not expect anything from. It came out in 1966, January of 1966. It was one of those mid-season things. It came out. It was a huge hit. And it was so big that they decided to make a quick movie to come out in the summer. Problem is, Julie Newmar had already signed up to do another film or something. So she wasn't able to make this movie. Then they decided to go ahead and make their four biggest villains that people loved. One of them being Catwoman, but Julie Newmar couldn't do it. So they got another actress to play Miss Kitka. Yeah. And with that, they had her. And they also, of course, had, what's his name? I can't think of it right now. But anyway, play Penguin.
Burgess Meredith.
Thank you. Awesome actor. Wonderful. Yeah. Later on, being Rocky and all that. Yeah. Anyway, then you had...
you're a bum, Batman.
That's right. Then you had Cesar Romero as Joker.
Yes, I always loved him as the Joker.
Oh, and then there's the Riddler. Frank Gorshin.
Yes.
And he was great in there, too.
Yeah. And he would clap, I have the perfect plan, I have the perfect plan.
So that movie did huge. And then they came back for a second season, and that second season was really good. Now, unfortunately, by the time you get the third season, it kind of started winding down. It wasn't near as good, and you had a different Riddler.
Yeah, and Batgirl kind of drug it down a little.
And Batgirl, she didn't do near as good. But that's where she came from. That's where she first came from, was from the show. So at least you got that.
Yeah.
And then the Riddler was played by... Fred Astin was his name, the guy who played Mr. Adam from the Addams Family. But anyway, that was him. And then,
Astin?
Yeah.
Not Sean. It's Sean's dad. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you know what I'm
talking
about.
Everybody's yelling at the podcast.
But you know what I'm talking about.
So he played a Riddler in the thing?
John Astin, whatever.
John Astin,
that's
you got it.
Yeah, that was him. That was him. Yeah, he played the Riddler on the season 3.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen that. Yeah,
mustache and all.
Oh, wow. Well, so Cesar Romero had his mustache too as the Joker. Yeah, and they just painted wide over it and hopefully they didn't even notice. I think it would have been awesome if they'd have just taken time to say, you know what? Green that mustache. Yeah. That'd have been awesome.
What's great is even on the toys they make, they have the white mustache.
Yeah.
On there.
Totally.
No, but anyway, that's the basic thing. So Adam West and Burt Ward were basically known as Batman and Robin. So much so that in the 1970s, when they made this horrible Justice League TV show. I can't remember the name of it right now. It was this horrible Justice League Hour, which I incidentally have a copy of on video. Horrible pirate copy. Horrible thing. It was so horribly bad that they made this show, and the only good people in it were Batman and Robin, because it was Adam West and Burt Ward. They returned. I mean, it's so bad that you have the Green Lantern, and they can't have him doing his powers, really. So he points the ring at himself to make him go beep, 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 and appear in different areas. And the same, by the way, with the Flash. The Flash can just kind of go beep, 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 and show up in different areas. He's so fast that he just kind of appears in different places. Wow. Oh, it's really bad. Really, really bad. But anyway, that's
this ever again actually aired on television at all?
Yeah, two episodes. One, what's his name? From the Tonight Show.
Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon. He was on it. It was really bad.
Who was he? Superman?
No. They had it. I don't think Superman was on it, but it was really bad. It was horrible.
Oh,
horrible show.
Wow.
It didn't make it. But
anyway, you think?
It was horrible. You got to watch it sometime.
Wow. But, I don't know. I have a hard time suffering through the Star Wars holiday special.
But Adam West and Burt Ward weren't done being Batman and Robin yet because they got to do the voices on the Filmation. And if that wasn't enough, sometimes...
I haven't seen that Filmation Batman.
Yeah,
I'd
love
to see
good.
That.
It was good. And some... I mean, I say it's good. It was for a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old. And then sometimes they even did the voice for Batman and Robin on the Hanna-Barbera. Now, sometimes Burt Ward didn't, so they had Casey Kasem do it.
Yeah, I'm more used to, I think, Casey Kasem on Super Friends.
But Adam West many a times did the voice for Batman.
Yeah, because they had that Batman animated series thing. And then, I think, before the Super Friends show...
This is why Joker wasn't always involved, because the way they had the copyright... Filmation had the Joker, and this is why Riddler would trade places on the Hanna-Barbera with the Joker. That's the reasoning.
Yeah, and I can't remember hardly ever seeing the Joker. I remember seeing the Joker in a Scooby-Doo episode when they did the team. And I think it might have... Was it Adam West and Burt Ward when they did that with Scooby-Doo?
I believe Casey Kasem did the voice.
Yeah.
Of course, he was doing double time.
Yeah. somebody correct us if we got that wrong, but yeah... But I do. I remember that's the worst Joker voice.
Oh, yeah.
Worst actor was Jared Leto. That's probably not his fault, though. But the worst voice, he sounded like this the whole time. This was the Joker in the Scooby-Doo episode.
Hey,
yeah. I'm like, that is
Hey, you
terrible.
Guys. Come on, you guys.
Yeah. Oh, it was awful. Totally awful.
Yeah, well, they're trying to combine it with all these different combination of impersonations.
I think most of the Batman I had gotten is because Super Friends. I remember watching when I was a kid on Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. I'd watch Super Friends, and then they had weekday episodes of Batman and Robin. And Adam West will always be Batman to me. And I know he did a lot of things afterwards. I did actually find there is an AdamWest.com, and I did find a quite a long biography, and he actually made nearly 50 movies, stuff like Drop Dead Gorgeous, if I can speak, The New Ways, The Young Philadelphians, An American Vampire Story, Soldier in the Rain, Robinson Crusoe on Mars, and Nevada
Smith. I've seen some of that.
But come on, Robinson Crusoe on Mars, of course that's an Adam West thing.
And when I was real young, I remember they used to have this on TV. Things were a lot different when I was young. They used to have like TV stars doing, I don't know what they called TV stars, but they called them, you know, Hollywood doing stunts and tricks. And I remember Adam West in a stunt show where he was like driving a race car. I don't remember if he was supposed to be doing his own stunts or what it was, but I remember as a kid, hey, it's Batman. He had a helmet on. So to me, that's Batman doing his own stunts.
There you go.
And that to me was just the coolest thing.
Yeah. Oh, and we can't get through this without talking about his appearance as the Grey Ghost.
Oh, yes.
Batman the Animated Series. I think it's season one that they did that.
He was too cool.
It was awesome because it basically had like Bruce Wayne had watched a show as a child of the Grey Ghost. Mm-hmm. And Adam West was playing the actor who had played the Grey Ghost.
And in the background, you see a poster that is basically the logo of Batman the Animated Series. Remember? There'd be Batman.
But it was the Grey Ghost.
But it was the Grey Ghost.
Yeah.
It kind of had a Dick Tracy look about it, which I know was on purpose. There's a Dick Tracy look about it, which, incidentally, Batman Animated Series, they admitted later on, Paul Dini and them, that it was supposed to have a little bit of a Dick Tracy look.
Cool. So, and it did, kind of. Yeah. It did look like Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
Oh, but that was such a great episode, and it's such a great memory that even in, let's see, it was at Arkham City? Batman Arkham City, that you go into the Oracle's lair. And there's actually, you can see some Grey Ghost memorabilia actually in the game. And I love that they did that because that is still one of my favorite episodes.
I have every episode of that.
I've got most of them. I think I need to borrow a few more from you because I think I've only got like the first volume and then I made a copy of the second volume. Because I can't always afford to get all these things. Although I remember in the animated series, I kind of lost interest when they changed the style of it. I didn't like the new style.
That's last season. But you know what? The stories are great.
Yeah, the stories are apparently still very good. And I think I have borrowed some to at least watch where they did the Batman throughout the time. They actually borrowed some Frank Miller stuff and did some different things. But I want to turn a quick corner here because not only did I want to talk about the passing of Adam West because that just happened, and so I'm kind of changing gears for the show, but something else was big this week, and that was the 83rd birthday of Mr. Donald Duck.
Oh, yes.
Who's got the sweetest disposition? One guess, guess who? Who never, never starts an argument? Who never shows a bit of temperament? Who's never wrong but always right?
Who'd never dream of starting a fight? Who gets stuck with all the bad luck? No one but Donald Duck.
All right, and of course, that was the great theme song, and I always loved the theme song because who gets stuck with all the bad luck? No one but Donald Duck. Exactly. And I remember when I first watched it. Oh, did you remember this? And let's stop and listen to this theme song as well. Donald Duck Presents on the Disney Channel.
Ah.
Na 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 na. I remember it because that was back when the Disney Channel was a premium channel. You had to pay for it.
I did.
And every morning, every weekday morning, we'd watch this. And so I got to watch a lot of Disney cartoons that way and got more, you know, and I do love Mickey. We all know I love Mickey Mouse.
Oh, boy.
But I always love Goofy and Donald more because stuff actually happened to them.
Hey, Jeremy, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Who's got the sweetest disposition?
One guess. Guess who?
That's right.
Who never ever starts an argument?
Who?
Yeah. I was about to say, we just went through the same
problem.
We're going to do it again.
That's right.
We're going to do it again. But that's where I think I first got, because I was familiar with the characters, but that's where I finally got to actually see a lot of the episodes is, you know, Donald Duck Presents, and you'd get some Mickey Mouse, some even some black and white ones every once in a while. I guess there was another show called Good Morning Mickey that had a bit more Mickey Mouse cartoons, but I never actually caught that one. I've only found some stuff while I was doing some research for this. But Donald Duck Presents, I used to love watching that, and I've loved Donald Duck all for his 225 films that I've seen, a lot of them. But yeah, that's from last count, I've got 225 films that he at least has appeared in, because not every appearance was a Donald Duck one. Sometimes it was a Mickey Mouse short and things like that. And of course, you know, Mickey's Christmas Carol. So he's always appearing. But I found 12 interesting facts, including, of course, the 225 films. And then I also want to talk about some of my favorite cartoons, which hopefully you can remember some of yours.
Oh, I do.
You probably didn't get a chance to go through a list like I did. But I found Donald Duck's full name is Donald Fauntleroy Duck.
Right. Yep.
Was first revealed in 1942, Donald gets drafted. Although his first appearance was, something about a little hint. Let me go back to the filmography. I found a filmography complete here. First appearance, The Wise Little Hen.
That's right.
And The Orphan's Benefit, which was his second one in 1934, which The Wise Little Hen was also 1934. Orphan's Benefit was actually originally in black and white, but they remade it in color. And I actually on YouTube found where somebody did a side-by-side and ran both cartoons together, which was pretty cool to see how it had changed with some of the, you know, the characters got different designs, you know, Mickey got pupils and stuff like that. But I found a complete list of some of his appearances.
I was told that, from what I understood, that his second appearance was actually, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I was under the impression that his second appearance was the one where Mickey has a concert. Maybe that's the
band concert. Yeah. But that actually was the fourth appearance.
Okay, there you go.
Well, that to me is one of the most significant of the early ones that because I absolutely love that.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
Yes, 1935. They've actually got a ride based off the band concert.
That's my favorite. That's
I love it.
I love the music because it's got, first of all, what's the name of it? The Lone Ranger.
William Tell's Overture.
Oh my goodness.
And then here comes Donald Duck playing Turkey in the Straw.
Yeah, which is another one of my favorite songs of all time. I just love it.
Eventually they play this. Well, the Storm is part of the William Tell Overture
in
the whole place.
Yeah,
but I just love the orneriness of Donald Duck in there.
I think because we all have a little bit of that orneriness.
Yes.
You know, I think that's what I love about Mickey. Goofy, and Donald. It's the same thing I love about Kirk, McCoy, and Spock.
Mm-hmm.
That if you take all three of them, they have a bit of the personality that we all carry. And you separate them, there's those characters. You know, we all have those, if we're honest. We all have a little bit of the ornery, a little bit of the innocent, and a little bit of the goof.
You know? Oh, yes.
And that's it.
At different points.
That's it, yeah.
Next fact I have is Donald is an American Peking duck. Unless it's spelled Pekin. His species was historically bred in China, but became a popular commercial duck breed for egg and meat production in the U.S. after it was first brought to Long Island in 1873.
Huh.
I guess that's what you call the standard white duck.
Yeah.
That you don't really see in the wild.
No. Interesting.
Now this is fun. Donald has an asteroid named after him. Asteroid 12410 was named Donald in 1995 and is located in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. Donald won an Oscar for the 1943 animated short "Der Fuhrer's Face," which was originally titled "Donald Duck in Nutsyland."
Yep.
I love this one too. The people kind of fuss about propaganda, but we gotta love the World War II propaganda films.
Absolutely.
And the Disney company, I mean, they made a lot of them. I even love "Victory Through Air Power." It's a great watch. It's different because it's more informational. But I love watching some of that old stuff because it's got such history. But yeah, this one is just flat out goofy, silly propaganda, making fun of
Nazis. I own that one. I love that one. That's a great one.
Yes. Donald co-hosted the Oscars in 1958. Hey, how about you read some of these? I'm making you just sit here and stare. You can read the number six here.
All right. Donald co-hosted the Oscars in 1958, appearing at the movie awards ceremony on film alongside the night's Oscar host Bob Hope, Jack Lemmon, David Niven, Rosalind Russell and James Stewart.
Oh, could you imagine Donald Duck and James Stewart in the same time?
Hey, Donald. who you think won the best picture of this year?
No one can understand what I say as Donald.
Oh, go there with Harvey.
Exactly. Well, in 2005, Donald was given his own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Why did it take until 2005? I guess they didn't want to do it for animated characters.
Okay, Walt Disney, number eight. Walt Disney created Donald around Clarence Nash's Doug's voice. Nash voiced Donald from 1934 to 1983.
Yeah, and a lot of appearances. Even Walt Disney, he had like a radio show for a little while. And they really loved having Clarence Nash on there because people got a real kick out of Donald Duck's voice. Because it was kind of, until you kind of learn that little bit of the trick of how the sound is created, it was mind-blowing. But yeah, it's like catching that air in your cheek with your tongue and stuff like that. But there apparently are a lot of other tricks, Tony Anselmo has said, to getting the right vocal tone and being able to have understandable. But there are certain words Donald cannot say because you wouldn't understand what he was saying. I would love to learn what those secrets are. But I heard him in an interview say that you have to have some of the conditions just right because at certain times of the day, your nasal passages are just in the right spot to get just the right sound for Donald.
So you have to pick your nose at certain... No, I'm joking.
Yeah, you have to pick your nose at certain times to get the right bill. Anyways, number nine, Donald's family circle includes his parents, sister, and nephews. His mother is Hortense McDuck, and his dad is Quackmore Duck. His sister is Della Thelma Duck. His nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, are best recognized from the XD show DuckTales.
Oh, well,
the lists I found, of course, the XD show DuckTales, but we learned them from the 80s Disney Afternoon.
That's right.
DuckTales.
Woohoo.
Woohoo.
I now have every episode of that.
Oh, you do? So I've only got one volume so far.
Yeah, well, we borrow that too.
We're loaning stuff to each other, but I still want to go get copies. I got
Launchpad McQuack, my favorite of the show.
Yeah.
And what I love about that show, not that this has anything to do with that, but I love about that show is that it went back to the 1950s and 60s comic books. And
yes. Dealt with, and borrowed a lot from
yes. The, and I love it. That's great. Mm-hmm. Great.
Beagles. Especially because Scrooge McDuck was a comic
That's
character.
Right. And the Beagles, the Beagle Boys.
The Beagle Boys and stuff like that. Yes.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Number 10. One of the greatest satisfactions in our work here at the studio is the warm relationship that exists within our cartoon family. Mickey, Pluto, Goofy, and the whole gang have always been a lot of fun to work with. But like many large families, we have a problem child. You're right. It's Donald Duck. That's right. Walt Disney once said of this character.
Yeah, that's basically the whole thing. I guess it would have been nice to preface to say that, yes, that was a Walt Disney quote.
That's right.
But yes, he was the problem child. That's one of the things I always loved about Donald because he had the same temper problems I did sometimes. Except he loses cool quicker than I would.
Yeah. I was always a combination of all of them. I had the build of what's his name?
Of Pete.
Of Pete. That the build of Pete, the kind of personality of Mickey. I would mess around like Goofy. I smelt like Pluto and had the temper of Donald.
Yeah, I think I listed it as a Facebook thing. You compare yourself to characters. Like, yeah, you strive to be Mickey. You end up acting like Donald, but everybody looks at you as being Goofy.
That's exactly right. But if I had to pick one Disney character movie-wise, it's probably more like Baloo the Bear.
A special microphone, the Neumann TLM-170, was used to record Donald's voice. Now, I wonder if it's the same one they're using today.
I don't know.
But I don't know anything about that microphone, but perhaps I'll learn something. I mean, I'm studying audio right now. Who knows? I might learn some stuff.
Donald's better half, Daisy Duck, was called Donna before she became famous. She first appeared in Don Donald, a 1937 short film.
Oh, and Daisy's had some great appearances. There was one... we were watching just the other day because I was boning up on my Donald Duck, and there's one of this I thought was really cute where Donald got hit over the head with a flower pot, and suddenly he had this great singing voice, but forgot all about Daisy. Yes. Oh, it's such a great one, and she has to clobber him. And it's funny because this therapist, that she's talking to his therapist about the whole thing. It's like, do you really want to be that selfish to take his voice away from the world just so you or yourself can have him? And she's like, yes.
I also love the one. I love the one where originally it was supposed to be her nephews. They had it as if they had it as if he was marrying into the family and are going to at least, and it's as if it was a dream or whatever, and he marries her and he comes out and she's got a cigarette hanging out of her mouth, you remember? And she got her hair up all rosy, goes, "What's the matter?"
Oh yes. And another great one with Daisy Duck is the one where she finally has enough of him losing his temper.
Yeah.
And she sends him off, so you better go learn to control your temper, and then at the end, because he went and tore up the place. And just made a mess, and so she kicks him out and breaks up. But then he comes back, and he's got control of his temper, and then something happens, and she loses her cool and tears the place out.
Yeah, they're in that. I love that one. If I'm not mistaken, she loses it when... this is another one, but whenever they're in the Tunnel of Love.
Yeah.
She loses it, just...
Oh, it's bonkers. Really funny. But I have made a list of some of my favorites. I tried to narrow down just a few.
Oh, that's hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, 255 appearances. I mean, come on.
Hello.
But I got some stuff from... here's Donald just by himself. Donald's Ostrich.
Oh, I remember that.
Yes, I remember this was that he was working at a train station and this ostrich pops up. If I'm remembering this correctly, and so he's trying to keep the ostrich contained and he's having a hard time of it, but it's just adorable and fun. Because I always sometimes get it confused with Mickey Mouse and the seal. I guess it's Pluto that sneaks the seal in. It's trying to hide it from Mickey in the bathtub.
It comes up from the zoo.
And
it comes up in the... that's a great one.
Yeah, it's very, very similar, but this one is all a train station. Mm. And then, one of the greatest, did I say Donald's Ostrich was 1937?
Mm.
1941, though, Chef Donald. Mm. Now, when I say the name of it, you don't think of it. But this is where Donald, he's sitting there at first, you know, he's got rubber cement out, and he's been sticking recipes in a book.
Yes.
And then over the radio, they say, "Well, how would you like some waffles? Would you want to make some waffles?" And Donald gets so excited, he gets all of his stuff out on the table and forgets to put away the rubber cement.
Uh-huh.
So he reaches for baking soda and instead puts in rubber cement, and hilarity ensues.
Yes.
And all kinds of stuff where he's trying to be able to put the waffle stuff into the waffle iron, and he can't get it in there, and he gets his tail stuck in the waffle iron.
Yes.
And then by the end, what makes it great... is over the radio, you hear the woman, "Now, aren't we just enjoying your waffles? We'd love to hear from you." And Donald looks at the radio, "Oh, yeah?" And then he runs out the door, and then you go to the radio, and the radio just bounced around. It's like, "Oh, hey, look, somebody was, oh, whoa, wait, what's going on?" And you can only imagine what Donald's doing. Total fit. I love that one. But Heather has a different reaction because she feels bad for Donald the whole time. And that's part of it. He's sympathetic because all this stuff happens to him. But you have to laugh because you just love him. But you're also like, "Oh, poor Donald." But you still laugh.
Yeah.
And then I already mentioned 1943, Der Fuhrer's Face.
See Heil.
Der Fuhrer's Face. Which is actually a song by... Wow. And I've got some of his songs, a collection of this guy. He had the whole orchestra and he would do silly, wacky noises with it.
It was in the cartoon first.
Yeah. And then he recorded it because
he loved it.
He'd get so many songs that he would goof around with him. And I cannot think of the guy's name. All right. Well, I'll get into
very
that.
Very famous.
Later.
I just can't think of his name.
Yes. And I have a collection that has some of his stuff because it really cracks me up.
I have a copy of it, actually.
And I only grabbed two, but there's so many more.
Those
when Mickey and Goofy together with him. Lonesome Ghost from 1937.
They're the greatest trio.
Yes. Lonesome Ghost has got to be my top number one. And maybe it's because of nostalgia, because you remember those Fisher-Price books?
I had.
Where you'd have the little record on the thing, and you'd have the little player that you'd put on the page.
But what I had was not just that. I had the one where you would it would look like a cartridge, and you would stick it in this little camera type thing. It looked like a TV.
Yes.
And it would play itself. Yes.
Yeah, we had one of those too.
I had that. That was one of my favorite things to watch, and I would play it backwards sometimes. Just to see, I love where Goofy would stick himself in the rear end with a nail or a pin or whatever. I would just love that, thinking it's a ghost.
I got him, Mickey.
And this is where Ghostbusters got their line. I ain't scared of no ghost.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so that's definitely one of my top of all time. Plus, another one, and I'm mainly fond of this because I had also another Fisher-Price book, The Clock Cleaners.
Yes.
Where they completely wreck this beautiful large clock. Because I think there's like a bird nest on one part of it. I should have watched this one before we get talking about it because it's been such a long time.
It's a great
one. Like, I remember, who is it that gets caught up in the coils?
I think it's Donald.
Yeah. Yes, gets caught up in the coils.
See that, Goofy, but I'm pretty sure it's Donald.
I think it is Donald, yeah.
Another one of theirs that I personally like, I know you don't have it on your list. But
I didn't have it on the list, but I love them all.
Well, there's so many. I love the one where they're on the trip.
The trailer. I should have listed that one, too.
That is just so...
That has got to be my number two after Donald and the Ghost.
This one has stuck in my mind.
Oh, man, which one was...
It's inspired me so much.
Keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
It's the one where in the trailer, Goofy's driving, which is a mistake all on its own, and Mickey's cooking, and Donald is sleeping. But
1938.
Yes, it's a great one, and it's so wonderful. Well, while they're sitting there on this trip, you see that Donald's sleeping, and all of a sudden... His little bed goes into the wall, and all of a sudden, here comes out the bath, and he falls into the bathtub, and all of a sudden, he's taking a bath. And then before that, it comes out a table, and he's still in the middle of taking a bath. All of a sudden, it's a table instead, and here they are making the dinner, and it's just, or breakfast, I mean, and it's just great. Mickey sticks himself halfway out the window, and they're going by a cornfield, and he grabs the corn. It's just the greatest little thing, one thing into the other.
And I love the best part, though, when Goofy comes to sit at the table, and they ask Goofy, "Hey, who's driving?" And Goofy's like, "Well, I am."
Yeah.
And he's just awesome. Eating. It's like, and then they get separated. The trailer gets separated from the car. And Goofy's like, "Oh, okay, I'm just driving." And the trailer's going through all this mishaps. And finally, at the end, claps back on with the car. And Goofy says, "I told you I'd get you down off the mountain just fine."
Yeah, it's awesome. It's one of the best cartoons ever.
I'm going to have to watch some of these when we can
do it.
I love it. Okay, then some of my favorite appearances with Chip and Dale. And I only mentioned two, although I could go into more because I didn't list down the one with the peanut butter.
Oh,
where Donald's making the peanut butter. But most of the time, it's Chip and Dale giving Donald a hard time.
That's fun.
Like, for example, from 1952, Donald Applecore.
Yeah.
Where they're stealing apples from his orchard. But the reason why I listed this one is I remember when we first saw it on Donald Duck Presents, we loved the whole line of the apple core, nothing more.
Nothing more.
Who's your friend? Him. And they'd slap each other with the apples.
That's it.
And it was a running gag throughout the cartoon, and Donald kept getting hit with apples. And I absolutely loved it. But then one from 1951, I've seen this one several times. We love this one called Out of Scale. Because it actually has a happy ending between him, Chip, and Dale.
Which is rare.
Which is very rare. But this is where Donald, I know it's inspired by Walt himself. Because Donald is building a backyard train with a miniature town and everything.
Yeah.
And he comes across Chip and Dale's tree. And he's like, well, this tree is not in scale. So he, funnily enough, with a shovel, is able to dig up the tree. But normally the roots would be all over your yard, really. But he puts it up there and he's hauling it off on the train. When Chip and Dale come back, realize their tree is gone. A little bit of a chase thing, but they take up residence into a little house in the miniature. And Donald kind of measures, like, oh, actually, a perfect scale for the house. So he's thinking it's fun, and he brings some little milk cartons, and he's having fun. He's like, oh, they're so cute in that little house now. But then he decides to get laundry and does this fake rainstorm with a thing, with a water, the bucket, and then he's taking the thing and running storm. And then he goes with some stuff and makes it seem like it's snowing. And the gate's loose, and because he's making fake snow, the gate is rattling in the wind. And Chip sends Dale out and bundles him all up to go and close the gate. But as soon as Dale comes out, Donald hits him with this big spotlight like it's a bright sunny day. And then Dale comes coming back in like, it's hot outside. What's all this stuff?
Basically playing God in a way.
Yes, he's toying with him the whole time. In the end, they get tired of the house and they want to go back into their tree. And a bit of a chase ensues, but the train goes through the tree when it's placed back there, cuts a tunnel, and Chip and Dale get smart green, get a little sign that says, giant redwood. And so Donald sees that, like, yeah, it's a giant redwood. So they get to keep their tree and he gets his perfect miniature. Absolutely love it because it's a happy ending for everybody for once, for Donald.
Yeah, that's good.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So I had to put in there. I love watching that one.
Because normally Chip and Dale, they're little jerks, really.
They can be, yeah.
They can be your little jerks. Kind of like the nephews can be real jerks. But there's one time that they're
those
not.
Those are my favorite ones, too.
Well, like one time that they're jerks. So Donald Snow fight 1942, they're honorary as heck. But, you know, because, of course, Donald kind of gets his comeuppance a little bit because he's like, oh, I'm just great at hockey. He starts it. Hockey game that turns into a snowball fight. And just all kinds of fun. And then the nephews really kind of get the upper hand. But they're devious, those nephews.
Yes, they are. Well, hey.
But there's times they pull some really nasty pranks. And some other ones, like the gorilla one. I love that one as well. They do some nasty pranks. I've even seen one where they pretend to be a lion in a big lion suit. Yes. And then, of course, a real lion shows up. It was real, I like the gorilla.
It has to happen that way.
Yes, those nephews do a lot of honorary things. Although sometimes they are, and I'm just going through a bunch of stuff with the nephews. I like the one where they want to buy him something for his birthday.
Yeah.
And they buy him the tobacco or the cigars. And Donald thinks that they're trying to be delinquents and smoke. And he shoves all these cigars and makes them smoke them. They all get all sick. And then he sees the card.
What's sad is he's trying to teach them a lesson. He's trying to be good to them. That's the thing.
And then he completely blew his own birthday present. But, okay, so the snowball fight was 1942. But we got to talk about Trick or Treat in 1952.
That's a favorite of theirs.
And do you think the nephew's reaction is a little overkill on poor Donald in this one?
Well, really,
I almost feel bad for him.
It's her reaction.
Yeah, the witch gets him a little over the top.
But he kind of over. He's the one who did it.
He was at. But then again, it is trick or treat, and he tricked them. He didn't treat them. He tricked them. So he's playing along.
But he kind of goes overboard. He took all their candy.
Yeah, stealing their candy is where he got in trouble.
Yeah, he overdid it. And also he did it to her.
He pulled some stuff off of Chazel.
If you're willing to trick, you got to be willing to take.
Yeah, you do take some nasty tricks from Chazel.
She did, man. She did.
And I do love that.
But it was so loved. That trick or treat was so loved that Witch Hazel then gets borrowed, we'll call it. We won't call it stealing, and it's the way it is. Warner Brothers loved it so much that they hired the same actress to play the witch named Hazel.
Yeah.
Not the same character, but pretty much the same character.
Different look entirely.
Different look
but
entirely.
Still.
She was now a larger witch with green skin.
Yeah.
But same voice.
And messing with Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, yeah.
The Hansel and Gretel one. Yeah. I love that one.
That's a good one. But pretty much the same character.
Yes, it is.
For the most part.
Yep.
You know, I will say I think she's much cuter in the Disney. But still fun. I like him that
still
too,
fun.
But still.
Any other great Donald Duck memories?
I love the all the bee ones. I love where he's with the bee. Remember the bee?
The little bee guy.
Yeah, you forgot about it.
Oh, yeah. Such
There's so
stuff.
Many good Donald Duck ones. There really are.
Yes, like working in the wrapping factory. Was the clock watcher, I think they call it. Where he's working in the wrapping plant trying to wrap stuff and just terrible at it.
I love all the World War II ones.
Yeah.
They did not use Mickey. And it wasn't that they didn't want to. But the truth be told, Mickey was a star. So was Donald.
Yeah.
Donald was too. But Mickey was their number one guy. You don't just use Clark Gable, for instance.
You are my number one
guy.
Guy.
They had to use, they wanted to use Donald instead of Mickey at the time. And so they did. They used Donald Duck, and he ended up becoming huge because of World War II.
Yeah.
All the soldiers got free Donald Duck cartoons. I mean, it was given away. I mean, Walt Disney gave them to the Army. And because of that, you had songs like, and the Army's not the Army anymore. And that was one of the cartoons, and it was basically showing how to train for the Army. They made cartoons of Donald Duck being trained for the Army.
Yeah.
These are wonderful, wonderful cartoons, and it was basically showing, look, Army soldiers and military soldiers, we know what you're going through. Donald knows what you're going through. Yes, you got it rough right now. Donald's going through what you're going through.
Yeah.
And these guys got to relate with Donald Duck. So Donald Duck, in a lot of ways, kind of helped win the war. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he did.
And that's
right into Fuhrer's face.
That's right. This is why Donald ended up being so beloved by so many people, because he kind of was going through what they were going through.
And even from 1942 to 1945, there was a variant, because you know how the big duck head, you know, Donald Duck, and he had his normal hat when it was in front of his cartoons, but they had him in a army kind of... What looks like, what you think of the fast food paper hat and that angle, that type of hat.
Yeah.
He was in that from 1942 to 1945 when he was doing those wartime cartoons.
Well, he was so beloved that on a lot of the planes, you know, they would paint a lot of times different women and all. They painted a lot of Donald Duck.
Yeah.
On a lot of
I've seen
things.
Some
he
of that.
He was beloved by, you know, thousands and thousands of soldiers. And so Donald is awesome. You gotta love him.
So happy birthday, Donald Duck.
We
absolutely love you. Still one of my probably top favorite Disney characters.
Amen.
Because I do love Mickey and I do love Goofy, but I'm always going to be a Donald Duck
Absolutely.
Fan, probably top.
Yes.
And I loved Donald and Daffy together in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That was a great, great thing.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
love it.
Characters.
Yes, because, of course, I'm more into classic Daffy than when he started getting more. Although the ego Daffy can be fun at times.
Oh, stop it. You're crazy.
But I love the original Daffy where he was really Daffy. But that's a whole other thing. But we need to wrap this up.
One last thing I want to say about Adam West. Let's go back to Adam West for a minute. One of my favorite things that he did, he one time on The Simpsons. This is right after Batman Returns came out. And he was talking about when he was in the World of Wheels. And Homer took Bart to see him. And they said, "This isn't Batman." And he says, "Oh, pardon me. You must have been expecting to see Michael Keaton, no doubt, in that new rubber-made muscle suit." He says, "But I didn't need rubber-made muscles. I was pure West." And so, to you, Adam West, we thank you so much. You are pure West, and that's a good thing for us.
Yep. Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you.
Yay! Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.